And the Afterglow is made possible in part by the generosity of Superior Energy in Vernon. Superior service you deserve. Serving the residential and commercial propane needs of Connecticut and Southern Massachusetts since 1939. Now is the perfect time to learn about the efficiency and cost-saving benefits of being powered by propane. With 24/7 support and state-of-the-art scheduling technology to simplify your busy life, just sit back and leave all your heating, cooking, and energy needs to the experts at Superior Energy. Your energy bill and the environment will thank you. Call 800-242-0427 or visit propanect.com.
You're right where you ought to be. It's our time in the Afterglow. Hi, I'm Father John. Thank you for sharing a brief bit of time with me. Guess what? The way you see yourself has a lasting impact on your life. When you consider yourself worthy of achieving your goals, you'll become who you want to be. You'll see yourself as confident and capable, and you'll follow a different path because you now see yourself walking towards success. We don't always realize the full impact of our thoughts, how far they reach, or how they truly affect us and our goals. See yourself in this brand new light. Think you can, and you will. Proof is in the pudding. You don't get there by not believing in yourself. Believe and do all you can to become everything you want yourself to be. So along the way, the first thing that you must do is shake off some of the worries, the cares that have consumed your thoughts, and share with me a brief hour of time with music and messages that relax the overtaxed and inspire. The sun sets on the day to welcome the night with a glow in the sky that speaks of eternal love, God's passionate love for all of creation in the Afterglow. And you're in the Afterglow on WJMJ, getting life back into balance to help engage the best of who we really are in the Afterglow. Well, today in our country's history, an important moment happened in our country to help it start healing. After 5 years of pitting neighbor against neighbor, General Robert E. Lee and the Confederate Army surrendered, ending the Civil War. In 1866, the Union Army, led by future President Ulysses S. Grant, took over the Confederate capital, causing Lee's Northern Virginia Army to retreat. The Union soldiers were able to cut off the retreat, causing the Confederacy to take one last stand, but it would be futile. With his troops starving and the outcome looking bleak, Lee sent a letter to Grant effectively saying they surrender. The two sides met at a courthouse in order to hash out the details. Grant gave a favorable offer for the Confederacy by letting them return home without having to face charges of treason. Some skirmishes continued till June, but the war had ended with a loss of over 600,000 lives. It was a war that would come to define America, that would answer the slavery question once and for all. The Civil War changed even the language that we use to describe the nation. Before the Civil War, Americans used the phrase, "the United States are." But after the war, that phrase became, as it is today, "the United States is." A cataclysmic conflagration like the Civil War profoundly changed the way in which Americans envisioned their own nation, seeing it no longer as a grouping of autonomous states, but as one nation indivisible. For better or for worse, the Civil War altered the fabric of the idea that it is the United States. And today also marks the birth anniversary of an African-American football player, singer, actor, and activist. Paul Robeson was born on this day in 1898. Born in Princeton, New Jersey, he was an All-American football player at Rutgers University and received his law degree from Columbia University in 1923. His singing and acting career took off when he was seen by Eugene O'Neill in an amateur stage production, and O'Neill offered him a part in the play The Emperor Jones. Some of his stage credits include Showboat, Porgy and Bess, The Hairy Ape, and Othello, which enjoyed the longest run of a Shakespearean play on Broadway. In addition to singing and acting, Paul Robeson was also an activist, using his platform in the public spotlight to fight for civil rights and bring focus on the Spanish Civil Wars. However, his views on the Soviets made him a victim of McCarthyism, and he was denied a passport to the United States for refusing to state whether or not he was ever a member of the Communist Party. He would tour mostly worldwide after that, but he returned to the U.S. in 1963 and lived the rest of his life in seclusion. Paul Robeson died on January 23, 1976, following complications from a stroke. Tonight in the Afterglow, we remember Paul Robeson.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures.
You're in the Afterglow with Father John on WJMJ Catholic Radio, where faith meets life. That was Amazing Grace by Paul Robeson. We remember Robeson, a stage actor and activist today, on this, his 126th birth anniversary. So we now journey toward the intersection of where faith meets life. What you think is what you get. Serving others is at the core of the mission God has for His children. When it comes to serving people in need, the family of the Catholic Church has an incredible track record. The Church feeds more people, houses more people, clothes more people, educates more people, and takes care of more sick people than any other institution in the world. And the Church achieves this through the action of ordinary people like you and me. For thousands of years, God has been using ordinary people to do extraordinary things. He delights in dynamic collaboration with humanity. He doesn't necessarily choose the people who are the best educated or who are good looking. He doesn't choose people because they're in positions of power and authority. He doesn't always choose the most eloquent and pervasive. There is only one type of person God has used powerfully throughout history. He does incredible things with the people who make themselves available to Him. It is the prerequisite for mission. Before Matthew Kelly became a father, he thought he knew something about the love God the Father has for us. Then his son Walter was born. Matthew found himself constantly yearning to be with his son. He couldn't walk or talk. All he did was eat and sleep and need his diaper changed. But Matthew loved being with him. Over the years, that hasn't changed. As Matthew and his wife have had more children, Matthew yearns to be with each of them in the same way. He loves his children so much, it's crazy, really, he says. And before he had them, he just didn't understand. But as he began to think about this great love he has for his children, the love of God took on a whole new meaning. If you can love your children as much as you do, and you are broken and wounded and flawed and limited, imagine how much God loves us. The same goes for God's mercy. We may think that we know that He loves us or that His mercy is boundless, but have we experienced it? Have we been the hands and the feet of God, the living embodiment of His mercy to those around us? How can we connect on a personal level with God's mercy? Well, fortunately for us, there is genius in Catholicism. The Church has given us the works of mercy to help bring the love of God to other people. How beautiful is that? The works of mercy are broken up into two categories: the corporal works of mercy and the spiritual works of mercy. The corporal works of mercy are concerned with meeting the physical needs of others. They are: feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, visit the sick, visit the imprisoned, bury the dead. Now, the spiritual works of mercy, on the other hand, are designed to meet the spiritual needs of others. They are: instruct the ignorant, counsel the doubtful, correct sinners, bear wrongs patiently, forgive offenses willingly, comfort the afflicted, pray for the living and the dead. It's simple, but imagine how the world would be different if everyone practiced just one work of mercy each day. How would the world be different if these works of mercy defined the way we live our lives? There is genius in Catholicism, but sadly, it is little known and practiced. Sometimes the best way to think about life is to reflect upon death. When I think about my life and how I have offended God, all the opportunities I have had to love that I have turned my back on, how little I have done with the gifts He has given me, I hope He is merciful. When I reflect upon all my faults and failings, my mistakes and sins, my pride and arrogance, I hope He is merciful. I believe He is. In the end, we each must fall at the feet of God and beg for mercy. In the end, it all comes down to mercy. Let us now strive to show others the mercy we hope to receive. That's where faith meets life.
The road is is long, with a many winding tongue that leads us to who knows where.
We just heard the Hollies with a song called He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother. And we're in the afterglow, bridging day and night, relaxing and winding down the activity of the day toward the peace and the tranquility of evening. Today's a day where we remember a war that was started over an ear. What? Well, you see, on this day, going way back to 1731, the Spanish Guarda Costa, or Coast Guard, boarded and plundered the British ship Rebecca off the coast of Jamaica. And among other outrages, they cut off the ear of English master mariner Robert Jenkins. Little notice was taken until 7 years later, when Jenkins exhibited the detached ear and described the atrocity to a committee of the House of Commons. In consequence, Britain then declared war on Spain in October of 1739, a war that lasted until 1743 and is known as the War of Jenkins' Ear. Oddly enough, nothing else is known of him. But his ear started a war back on this day 293 years ago. And today we celebrate one of the greatest leaders in Europe's history becoming an American. During World War II, the country that remained the strongest throughout the entire war was England. While France was captured, Russia lost the most people, America entered late, and Germany, Italy, and Japan were defeated. England was powerful and resilient. The determination matched the personality of their Prime Minister, Winston Churchill. He was an expert at military strategy and kept the Allies together despite the differences between America and Russia. Churchill also led Britain after the war as well to prosperity and a full recovery. It was due to these accomplishments that the American government voted to make Winston Churchill an honorary U.S. citizen. He was the first man to receive the honor, and since then, only six other people have ever gotten honorary U.S. citizenship. The United Kingdom may have been Winston Churchill's home, but he will also be a part of our country too, thanks to the U.S. government naming him as an honorary citizen on this day, 61 years ago.
Far, we've been traveling far, without a home, but not without a star. Free, only want to be free. We huddle close and hang on. It seems so far away. We're traveling light today. In the eye of the storm. In the eye of the storm. Home to a new and a shiny place. Make our bed and we'll say our grace. Freedom's light burning warm. Freedom's light burning warm. Everywhere around the world, they come into America. Every time that flag's unfurled, they come into America. Got a dream.
America by Neil Diamond. You know, our country has had good times as well as bad, but it's up to us to lead the way for all that is right. It's up to us to be that shining example to the world, the city upon a hill for all to strive to become. Now, you and I, well, we're here in the Afterglow. I'm Father John. You know who you are. And this is where we unwind, relax, count blessings, and take time to reorder priorities. So it's story time now in the Afterglow. Years ago, an American film called The World in Darkness told the story of an archaeologist who was excavating in Jerusalem near the Mount Calvary area. Well, one day he announced that he had discovered the tomb where Jesus had been laid. It was not empty. In it, he said, was a mummified corpse, which he put on exhibition. People crowded to see the corpse, and the news that Christ had not risen from the dead quickly spread around the world, whereupon everything that bore Christ's name or trace of his memory was doomed to extinction. Churches and cathedrals were closed, then demolished. Monasteries were emptied of their monks. Missionaries were withdrawn from their territories. New Testaments and crosses were burned. The world was plunged into a state of incredible gloom and depression. The world was in deep shock. Christianity could not endure apart from the mystery of resurrection. And finally, in the midst of this spiritual darkness, the archaeologist confessed on his deathbed that he had told a lie. The tomb had been empty. St. Paul said, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is in vain. You are still in your sins. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Something to think about.
All the towers of ivory are crumbling, and the swallows have sharpened their beaks. This is the time of our great undoing. This is the time that I'll come running straight to you, for I am captured. Straight to you, for I am captured one more time. The light in our window is fading, the candle gutters on the ledge. Well, now sorrow, it comes a-stealing, and I'll cry, girl, but I'll come running straight to you, for I am captured. Straight to you, for I am captured. Days of rainbows, and gone are the nights of swinging from the stars. For the sea will swallow up the mountains, and the sky will throw thunderbolts and sparks straight at time.
Straight to You by Josh Groban. Hi, I'm Father John, and I really appreciate your company tonight. In the Afterglow is where we are. We unwind with good music, interesting reflections, and prayer. However, if peace and relaxation have still eluded you and you need a double dose in the Afterglow this evening, you can hear it all over again. All you have to do is go to our website, wjmj.org, and under the WJMJ tab, you'll find the In the Afterglow podcast menu. Click on tonight's show and listen again, or for the very first time, to what you missed. A song, a story, where faith meets life. Listen again. You're in the driver's seat, in control, when you visit wjmj.org. And if, by the way, you'd like to get in touch with me, it's easy to do. All you have to do is email me at afterglow@wjmj.org. Once again, that email address is afterglow@wjmj.org, and we'll be in touch. Now, turn on the light. You'll see better. And you thought God adopted you because you were good-looking? You thought he needed your money or your wisdom? Sorry. God adopted you simply because he wanted to. You were in his good will and pleasure. Knowing full well the trouble you would be and the price he would pay, he signed his name next to yours and changed your name to his and took you home. Your Abba adopted you and became your father.
Stop the clocks, it's amazing. You should see the way the light dances up your hair. A million colors of hazel, golden and red.
Night prayer is coming up, but first, let's let God's Word talk back to us in today's Word.
Oh, I will hold on to the afterglow.
Today is Tuesday of the second week of Easter. Scripture reports Jesus in conversation with Nicodemus, saying, "Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony." St. Bernard was once saying Mass in the Milan Cathedral when a strange-looking woman came in. What with grinding her teeth and protruding her tongue like an elephant's trunk, she seemed more like a monster than a woman, writes Arnold of Bonneville. Her filthy face, fetid breath, and hideous expression were plainly enough the offscouring of the evil lurking within. Bernard said the consecration prayer, asking that the Son of Man should descend from heaven once again into the bread before him. Then he raised the host above the woman's head, as Moses had raised the bronze serpent in the desert. "Here is the highest power that is, foul spirit," said Bernard. "Resist it if you can. This is the body that was stretched on the tree of the cross." After he had broken the host, Bernard gave the sign of peace, and peace returned at once to the woman. The response of many people to this story may be, "I don't believe it." Yet Bernard is not some Dark Age hermit in his cave. He is a well-documented public figure, performing a miracle in front of a huge congregation. If we do not believe what we hear about such earthly things, how can we believe what we hear about heavenly things? If we do not believe that the trees are swaying, how can we believe in the wind? Nicodemus saw the signs of God's activity and did not understand them. We may be the same. "As you do not know how the Spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman," says the writer of Ecclesiastes, "so you do not know the work of God who makes everything." We do not know how Christ comes into the bread and the wine at the Eucharist. No one can bear witness to it. for it is a heavenly miracle. Perhaps God works earthly miracles around it to alert us to what is happening. They become signs that something is going on which is beyond our understanding.
You're my life's one miracle. Everything I've done that's good, and you break my heart with tenderness, and I confess it's true, I never knew a love like this till you. You're the reason I was born. Now I finally know for sure, and I'm overwhelmed with happiness, so blessed to hold you close, the one that I love most, though the future has so much for you in store. Who could ever love you more? The nearest thing to heaven, you're my angel from above. Only God creates such perfect love. When you smile, and to save your life I'd die. With a romance that is pure heart, you are my dearest part. Whatever it requires, I live for your desires. Forget my own, your needs will come before. Who could ever love you more? Oh, there is nothing you could ever do to make me stop loving you. Is always for your sake. You sleep inside my dreams and know for sure. Who could ever love you
. And now on this Tuesday, the 9th day of April, in the second week of Easter, as the shadows lengthen and the evening comes, we reflect on God's nourishing and loving presence with us. So we close our time in the afterglow with prayer. Watch, O Lord, with those who wake or watch or weep tonight, and give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend your sick ones, O Lord Christ. Rest your weary ones. Bless your dying ones, soothe your suffering ones, pity your afflicted ones, shield your joyous ones. And for all your love's sake, we pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Lord, I lift my hands to you and ask that you would extend your hands to me and lift me from all the trouble in my life. I come humbly before you as your servant, and thank you for keeping me safe from trouble. I pray for your protection upon my health, my mind, my family, my finances, my emotions, and my reputation. Thank you that no weapon formed against me will prosper. Thank you that you have made me to be righteous in your eyes, and you will protect me from the slander and the condemnation of others. Take away all fear and torment, and help me to openly share my heart with you about all things that concern me most right now. Thank you that you are always my help in times of trouble, and with you, I have nothing to fear. Help me to face each challenge with hope in my heart and not dread.
You who save me, you who rescue me, Lord, I sing your praise. You who save me, you who rescue me, Lord, I sing.
Give judgment for me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted in the Lord, I have not wavered.
Examine me, Lord, and try me. O test my heart and my mind. Your faithful love is before my eyes, and I walk according to your truth.
I never take my seat with liars, and with hypocrites I shall not go. I hate the evildoer's company. I will not take my seat with the wicked.
I wash my hands in innocence and take my place around your altar, singing a song of thanksgiving, recounting all your wonders. O Lord, I love the house where you dwell, the place where your glory abides.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Who taught the sun where to stand? And who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Well, I Redeemer lives.
It is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. But the spiritual was not first, rather the natural and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, earthly, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly one, so also are the earthly, and as is the heavenly one, so also are the heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthly one, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly one. You must be born of the Spirit.
Behold, behold, the Mighty One has done great things for me.
Spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones, and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to help his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever.
Behold, behold, the Mighty One has done great things for me. Behold, behold, the Mighty One has done great things for me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
You must be born of the Spirit. Everlasting God, your ways are just and true. In faith, we pray.
Give us your blessing, O God.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, in time and eternity, in faith we pray.
Give us your blessing, O God.
For those who await a good word, healing, or reconciliation, in faith we pray.
Give us your blessing, O God.
For those who are dying and those who care for them, in faith we pray.
Give us your blessing, O God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
May God lead us to rejoice today and always in the love shown to us in Jesus, our brother. Amen. Amen.
Before the ending of the day, Creator of the world, we pray that you with steadfast love would keep your watch around us while we sleep.
From evil dreams defend our sight from fears and terrors of the night. Tread underfoot our deadly foe that we no sinful thought may know.
You who save me, you who rescue me, Lord, I sing your praise. Save me, you who rescue me, Lord, I sing your praise.
Let my enemies be shaken. If it's me that you judge, then Lord, let my heart awaken. You who save me, you who rescue me, Lord, I sing your praise. You who save me,
we now offer a prayer requesting the intercession of Blessed Michael J. McGivney, priest of the Archdiocese of Hartford and founder of the Knights of Columbus.
God our Father, protector of the poor and defender of the widow and orphan, you call your priest, Father Michael J. McGivney, to be an apostle of Christian family life and to lead the young to the generous service of their neighbor. Through the example of his life and virtue, may we follow your Son, Jesus Christ, more closely, fulfilling his commandment of charity and building up his body, which is the church. Let the inspiration of your servant prompt us to greater confidence in your love, so that we may continue his work of caring for the needy and the outcast. We humbly ask that you glorify your venerable servant, Blessed Father Michael J. McGivney, on earth, according to the design of your holy will. Through his intercession, grant the favor I now present. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Be present, O merciful God, and protect us through the silent hours of this night, so that we who are wearied by the changes and the chances of this fleeting world may rest in your eternal changelessness. Lighten our darkness, and in your mercy defend us from all perils and dangers of this night. Visit this home, O Lord, we pray, and drive far from it the snares of evil. May your holy angels dwell with us and guard us in peace through the night. And may your blessing be always upon us through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
You who save me, you who rescue me, Lord, I sing your praise. You who save me, you who rescue me, Lord, I sing your praise. May all this evil come to an end and be over. God be my shield. Under your wing, give me cover.
sing your praise. You save me, you rescue me. Lord, I sing your praise.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his countenance to you and grant you peace. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You've been listening to Night Prayer in the Afterglow with Father John. Thanks for listening. In the Afterglow, a time of reflection and relaxation is underwritten in part by the people of Superior Energy of Vernon, Connecticut. Now in their 80th year, they offer personalized 5-star propane service to customers throughout Connecticut and southern Massachusetts. For more information, call 800-242-0427 or visit propanect.com. Coming up is Exploring Music with Bill McLaughlin from the WFMT Radio Network. This is WJMJ at 88.9 in Hartford, 107.1 in New Haven. WJMJ Catholic Radio, where faith meets life, and where we're inviting you to be to enjoy an entire evening of relaxing music tailor-made for you.